Call the meeting to order.
I think they were waiting for that.
Our next public hearing is conditional use 1747 Artesian Water Company Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for public utilities, buildings, treatment plants, disposal sites, a well site, a water storage tank, and water treatment plant to serve as a regional facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing two tracts of land totaling 18.43 acres, more or less, lying at the southeast corner of Road 247, also known as Log Cabin Road, and Road 290, also known as Cool Spring Road, and also being east of Road 290 at Cool Springs Road and north of the railroad and Route 9. Gentlemen, I have two agency comments, first one being from the Department of Transportation. It is in the form of a support facilities report dated March 8th of 2007. We are advised that a traffic impact study is not recommended. The existing level of service of all roads referenced is level of service A and will not change as a result of this application. We have comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, they were received today. They make reference to the location, the applicant, the use, the tax map. The project is not within a current county operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district. In comments, they say a review of the treatment and disposal system by the County Engineering Department is required. If Sussex County ever provides sewer service, it is required that the treatment system be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at the utility's expense. The proposed project is located outside of the inland base planning area where Sussex County expects to provide sewer service. Sussex County requires design and construction of collection and transmission systems connecting to the treatment facility to meet Sussex County's sewer standards and specifications. And also a concept plan is not required, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. Lastly, I believe you all have a copy of the booklet?
Yes, sir, we do.
Okay. And as for the record, that attached to that booklet are a set of plans. One reference, Island Farm Water and Wastewater Utility Parcel 1, and the other being Island Farm Water and Wastewater Utility Parcel 2 as a part of that document. The exhibits included in the booklet can reference a conditional use application, an agreement with Island Farm Incorporated, the property owner, the site plans, a hydrogeologic evaluation, an artist renderings, regional system map, wastewater CPCN applications, a water CPCN application, Artesian Water Resource Management references, water and wastewater facilities owned and operated by Artesian, and proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. And this booklet is a part of the record. And that's all I have at this time.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney for the Artesian, the application on applicant on conditional use application number 1747. Mr. Lank has reviewed the contents of the book that are going to be made a part of the record, and we will be referring to those as we proceed through the evening. I have with me this evening two gentlemen who will provide technical information relating to this project. They include Barry Price, who is the senior project manager from Artesian, and Brian Carbaugh, who is an engineer and is the director of engineering designs for wastewater treatment. The owner of the property, and I have up a visual here, which is of the property located on Route 9, next to the railroad tracks at an intersection that's probably fairly familiar to you. The property on this end, which has the areas of green, the water tower, and the water plant, are the closest to Route 9, and that area is made up of just a little over 9 acres. and makes up one part of this project. And at the far end of Log Cabin Road is the wastewater treatment facility, and that is at the intersection of that road. Currently, the property is being used for agricultural, residential, forested-type uses, and there are three residences located right at the intersection, which will be adjacent to the water treatment plant and administrative offices. The proposed parcel number one, again, as we've identified it in the booklet and in the plot plans, is wastewater treatment and rapid infiltration beds. The parcel number two contains the office building, the water storage tanks, wells, some water treatment, and also some ribs. And the land use plan, this particular area and these two sites are identified as low density area and level four, but of course there will be no state expenditures for infrastructure because we're doing this through a private utility. What is particularly unique about this project is that periodically these gentlemen and I have appeared before you where we've had wastewater treatment plants or water treatment facilities that were contained within subdivisions where we were asking to regionalize them so we could take something that was project specific and make it regional. This time around, we're doing it the other way. We're actually coming in with regional facilities and asking that you grant the opportunity for us to have these applications approved. There are, as you have noted, or as Lawrence has noted from the book, a number of CPCNs that have been granted, and within the book as we go through this process, you will see there are proposed service areas that are already in effect or projects that are on the books that will be served by these facilities. So we're going to do it not backwards this time, but in a reverse order of what we typically do them. With all those thoughts in mind, if you'll permit me, I'd like to call Brian Carball up.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And Brian, if you introduce yourself, please. You are Brian Carball of Artesian, and you are Director of Engineering Design for Wastewater Treatment.
That would have been the introduction I would have given, yes.
Good. I'm trying to make it easy for you.
Thank you.
I saw how the last one went, so I'm going to...
For the record, could you tell us a little bit about your qualifications?
Yes, I'm a professional engineer. I've been working in the wastewater field in the planning, implementation, design, and operation of wastewater facilities for over 20 years. The past 10 years, operated my own firm, West Associates, that specialized in that work, and have for about the past 7 months been employed by Artesian through their wastewater management facilities, working with them on wastewater facilities.
All right, sir. Thank you. Go ahead.
And your participation in this project is not limited to wastewater, but it involves all aspects.
Right.
Is that correct?
The overall site work in conjunction with Artesian's other planners and engineers to develop a comprehensive regional facility that handles both a water and wastewater operation on these two parcels to serve this general area.
And while we're on that particular topic, you do not, or this Artesian does not, hire a consulting firm to design its plant. It's all done in-house.
There may be aspects that are done by a consulting firm. Some of the site planning that you see before you was done by River Basin Engineering, but at the direction and in conjunction with Artesian's planners and designers.
If you would, please, could you just describe generally what the site and the surrounding areas are and why it is an appropriate site for the projects that are proposed here?
Well, this is a fairly rural area. We're fairly well buffered at this point. We have, as you mentioned, Route 9 and the railroad tracks to the south of these areas. There are three residential parcels in what would be the southeast corner of the site, bounded by our parcel number 2, which handles the water facilities and a portion of the proposed infiltration basins. To the west of that is an open agricultural area. To the east is the remainder of this overall piece of land, which is partially in agricultural utilization, partially wooded. All of our projects are within the cleared areas. There's no wooded area, no clearing involved. To the north, we have our northern parcel, which again is bounded by the remaining lands of the parent parcel. To the west is agricultural. To the to the north is agricultural.
Are there any streams or other natural features that would be involved in this site?
Not directly on our parcels. There is a stream at the eastern side of the parent parcel, which flows to the north and east.
Now, I've described two proposed uses for these properties. Your familiarity is with the wastewater treatment facility. Is that correct?
I'm primarily a wastewater guy, although I know my share about water. My specialty is wastewater, yes.
Okay. Well, did you describe what the proposed use is on the wastewater site?
The wastewater site is the northernmost of the sites. It contains the wastewater treatment facility. I think we do have a detail of that site. Yes. It contains a wastewater treatment facility sized to handle the wastewater treatment needs for this project. We'd be using wastewater treatment similar to the facilities we've used at other projects. Perhaps you're familiar with the Stonewater Creek facility. I was the designer and permitter for that facility. It's a batch reactor type system. It's able to reduce nutrients in the wastewater down below drinking water standards. So what we put back into the ground is drinking water quality. We have a discharge to rapid infiltration. Rapid infiltration is a way to apply our treated water onto the land and then let that treated water seep back into the ground to be returned to the groundwater, which is where we took it from in the first place.
Carl Ball, I don't think this commission is going to let me get away without asking you if you would drink that water.
I would drink that. I will drink that water in conformance with the standards that are applied.
All right.
You drill me a well 100 feet away from my disposal area, which is the first place you're supposed to be able to put a well. I would gladly drink the water from that well.
Go ahead.
You'll notice the biggest thing that you'll see on the site are the rapid infiltration basins. They are the largest area on both the northern and the southern parcel one and parcel two. There's a total of 12 rapid infiltration basins. You'll notice three of them are shaded there. The 12 are infiltration basins and spare infiltration basins. In accordance with DNRC requirements, you have to have a complete backup available. So really only half of what you see here, both in the artist rendition and on the site plans, would be constructed. The other half would be backup and spare for future use.
I'm going to ask you to take a look at this particular picture, which appears in tab 10 of the books. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, what you're looking at there is an aerial photograph of the Stonewater facility located off Route 5 at the Stonewater Creek project. It shows you quite typically what the wastewater treatment building here would look like. We make quite an effort to make sure that our wastewater treatment facilities don't look like wastewater treatment plants. I was the son of a wastewater engineer. I can spot a wastewater treatment plant a mile away driving up 95 or anywhere around the country. And I would never know that these were wastewater treatment plants. They're just big buildings.
And as far as the rib site is concerned, these are not open standing ponds of wastewater.
No, they're designed for infiltration. They're designed to receive water. Each basin is designed to receive water for one day. That water should be infiltrated within a day or 2 days at the absolute most at peak design. So the entire area is really dry the vast majority of the time. Not enough time for any breeding of insects or anything to happen.
Gentlemen, I'll draw your attention to the next following page, which is a picture of the wastewater treatment building and drip disposal fields that are located right across from Sussex East Mobile Home Park on Route 9. And if you go by there, the building that is identified as the wastewater treatment building looks more like a maintenance shed or a barn than it does a wastewater treatment plant. And I know I go by there a couple times a day, coming to go from work, and it's different. Doesn't look like what you would expect it to look like. The buffering between these ribs and the public roads on either side, is there any technical requirements for that? And what do you do to meet some safety standards if there are any?
We provide from all property boundaries. There is a 50-foot isolation distance that DNREC requires from the property boundary to the infiltration area. That gives a buffer between where the wastewater is actually going into the ground and any off-site area. Also, somewhere between that infiltration area and the property boundary, there's a fence. It's not 6 foot high with razor wire on it by any means. Usually it's about a 42-inch fence, board fence, but just meant to provide a physical barrier so that people know that they're crossing a line, they're coming into a wastewater area, and there are signs posted on that fence that say that this is a wastewater reclamation or infiltration area, and public access is not allowed.
And in anticipation of placing ribs on this site, is it required that you study the soils to make sure that they are appropriate for this use?
Yes, we have requirements for detailed both soils and geohydrologic analysis. It's very important that we know what the soil's characteristics are throughout the site. If any of you might have gone out and visited the site within the past week or so, it looked like there was an attack of the massive groundhogs out there. Our soil scientists are in the midst of their detailed soils analysis, digging test pits. The test pits are then filled in between with hand augered borings, trying to identify, make sure there are no clay lenses or anything that would impede the proper movement of water, so that all of that can be identified. We've already conducted a preliminary or internal review of the soils, and that's what led us to these two parcels that you see. These were identified as having suitable soils for this use. We're now in that detailed soils work where we're doing, it's a 75-foot grid. Every 75 foot, there's either a backhoe test pit or a 4-inch auger hole put down to identify any limitations that might occur. We also do and are in the process of doing a full set of infiltration tests on both parcels to verify the design infiltration rate. Once we know the infiltration rate, we know how much water we can apply. Just so you understand, when we design the amount of water that we put on the ground, that's just 5% of the amount of water that we could theoretically put on based on the infiltration test. So if the infiltration tests say that 100 inches would go into the ground in a day, we would only put 5 inches on.
Can I safely assume that this proposed use is regulated by DNREC at all levels?
Absolutely. From the soils analysis, I mentioned the soils analysis, what we do there. They will review that, make sure that the soils are suitable for this use. They'll review those infiltration tests and verify and sign off on the infiltration rate that will be used for design. The next phase, once we have an infiltration rate and we know what area we can work within, that determines we come up with a design amount of water that we think we can dispose of at that site. And if you read in here, we're looking at something in the 300 to 600,000 gallons would serve about 1,000 to 2,000 homes, somewhere in that range right now. But then we have to do a geohydrologic analysis. We have to see what happens to the groundwater table when we discharge that amount of water, and do we still maintain the required minimum separation distance between the ground surface or the bottom of our infiltration basin and what happens to the water table. The water table has a natural movement now, and when we add this water, that natural movement will come up a little bit as a groundwater mound. We have a minimum separation requirement under peak load, and actually constant peak load. We evaluated it as if we discharged the peak discharge rate all the time. And then we apply that to the highest that the water fluctuates in a seasonal basis and make sure that we can still maintain a 2-foot separation distance.
There are ribs also going to be at the other site, the parcel 2 site. The same standards would apply to those ribs as applied to the parcel 1 site.
Exactly the same standards.
And I thought I heard you just say that if this plant were to go into operation, well, let me ask you this first. Within the plant building itself, what would you have contained by way of equipment or apparatus?
The wastewater treatment facility would most likely consist of some screening to remove gross solids, some of the largest, and actually some of the paper and large solids in the wastewater screened out. Then we go to the biological wastewater treatment system. There's a biological population that thrives and flourishes in those tanks. There are two of those tanks. Really, the only thing that we really add to those tanks is air. We aerate. We have blowers that blow air in there. They're aerobic microorganisms, and they treat the water using air. Then there are periods of time when we take the air away and we just have mixing energy, just mix that tank. That's actually what achieves denitrification. They use the oxygen that's been placed into the nitrogen, converting the nitrogen into nitrates. If we take away the oxygen, the bugs will go back in looking for oxygen. They'll take the oxygen out of nitrates, and all that's left is N, which is nitrogen gas, and it just comes off as nitrogen gas. Don't be worried about any nitrogen gas poisoning. The atmosphere is like 60% nitrogen already.
Again, all of this is regulated by the Department of Natural Resources.
Yes, it is.
If you get this, I thought I understood you to say that you would have approximately 1,000 to 2,000 EDUs and capacity for 300 to 600,000 gallons of disposal. Is that correct?
Right. Right now, that's our projection based on the areas that have been defined as apparently suitable, and the preliminary infiltration rates that we got from our feasibility. About half of the infiltration tests have been conducted in the detailed work, and they're coming out right in that same range that we expected, so we're still in that margin.
And that includes this wastewater treatment plant on parcel one, the wastewater treatment plant on parcel one and the RIBS on both sites, correct?
Right, yes.
Okay. What was that number again?
Which number do you want? 1 to 2,000 EDUs.
1 to 2,000.
Yes, between 1 and 2,000 EDUs.
And 300 to 600,000 gallons per day for the disposal. Right.
Right. 300 gallons per day per unit is the design flow.
Mr. Carwall, if you'll take a look at tab 6, you'll see a map of some sort. Can you tell me what that represents?
Why, yes. some would say that we shouldn't be coming in asking for a conditional use to undertake a project like this unless there's some need for such a project. This shows parcels that have expressed an interest in wastewater service in the vicinity of these proposed wastewater facilities. This is actually a... This is primarily for wastewater. There are lists of individual parcels at individual tabs here, but these parcels all have expressed an interest. They would be potential service areas for this facility. There would potentially be other areas. Not all of these might eventually develop. That is in part up to you all. But there is an interest expressed from these. We do have CPCNs, a Certificate of Public Necessity and Certificate of Public Necessity and Convenience and Necessity. There, a CPCN, yes. For a few of the parcels here, I made notes to remind myself. For the Windstone project, which is shown in blue on the map, the Shoreview Woods, which is just on the other side of the other part of the parent parcel here of Island Farms, in yellow, listed as SVW, and the Carriage Green project, which oddly enough is in green itself.
Just a quick question here: a CPCN for wastewater is not a CPCN for water service.
No, there are also...
They're exclusive applications.
Right. Each one is granted separately by the Public Service Commission for either water or wastewater. While we certainly like to hope that they are both within the same utility, they can be handled individually as well.
As it goes with wastewater treatment, are there any actions that you have to take to protect or to preserve the adjacent properties that might be affected by your plant or disposal?
Yes. Certainly our plants have Our plants have to be watertight so that we don't have leakage from those plants that might contaminate groundwater. We design all of our facilities to protect against odors. We don't want odors that would negatively impact neighbors, because once an odor negatively impacts a neighbor, it obviously negatively impacts our utility operation. As far as groundwater quality, those same geohydrologic evaluations that look at mounding also look at direction of groundwater flow, where the discharge is going. But as I said, when I was describing where I would drink water, we're required to keep at least 100 feet away from all residential wells and 150 feet away from any community or public wells.
And to the best of your knowledge, as to the three parcels that are at the intersection next to railroad tracks, you meet those standards?
Yes.
Gentlemen, I'm going to wrap up with Mr. Carball, if you don't mind. I'm going to bring Mr. Price up, who is the senior project manager for the water side of this project. When I conclude with him, I'll make everybody available for answering questions and make it easier for you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
And you would be?
My name is Barry Price. I'm a senior project manager with Artesian. I've been with Artesian for 18 years, where I've worked on or been responsible for the design and construction of water supply and treatment facilities.
And your focus as far as these two projects are concerned has been on the water side, is that correct?
That's correct.
And if you would you describe, please, the water facilities that would be placed on parcel two?
What we have shown on parcel two is a well, water supply well, a water treatment facility, and a water storage tank. We also show an office, proposed office building.
Okay, well, describe, if you will, how this water system works at this particular facility site, as a proposed site.
We would drill a well. We would drill a test well first before we drilled a production well to determine the quantity and quality of water available in the ground at this particular site. Once we do this testing and have some idea what the quality of the water is, we would start to design the treatment process. We would also, while testing, we would conduct a 72-hour test to determine the safe yield of the well, and the results of that test would be compiled, and a hydrogeologic report would be prepared and submitted to DENRAC for review and approval.
Now, the structure in which the water treatment facility is going to be placed will look like what, how large, what will it contain?
The proposed structure, as we've shown on the renderings that we submitted, we're proposing that it look like a barn, and the building will contain water treatment and pumping equipment.
And will there be chemicals stored in there?
There would be chemicals stored in there, which are required for the treatment process.
And what type of chemicals are there?
It would be some type of chemical for disinfection, most likely sodium hypochlorite, and potentially chemicals for pH adjustment.
Now, when you place a well on this particular site, are there any protective measures that you have to take in order to preserve or protect the wells of the three residences that are located there in the intersection?
Yeah, there are some standards for well placement. We have to be at least 150 feet from any potential source of contamination. We also try to get a good distance from any other wells, which would be in the same aquifer as our well is screened in.
Now, I'm pretend for a second I'm one of these landowners. You've got all of these facilities. Are you going to go into the same aquifer as one of these three homes on the corner, or are you going to go into another aquifer so you don't disturb their water supply?
We would try to go in another aquifer. Again, we haven't drilled any test wells here, but based on other wells we have in the area, we don't believe we would be in the same aquifer as those nearby homes.
Worst comes to worst, and you were, would you make water available to those other three homes?
Yes, we would. If our supply well adversely affect the operation of the homeowners' wells, we would definitely make water available to them.
If you would you describe for the commission the office building that's proposed for this site and what the activities would be here?
Yeah, what we're showing is a proposed 6,000-foot office building, single-story building. Right now we have an office on Route 9 nearby this facility. That office would be relocated to this property, and there's less than 10 employees at that building currently. I would anticipate that that could be increased in the future to probably no more than 20.
Would any portion of that facility be used for storage?
The office building itself would probably not be used for storage other than office supplies and things that go along with operating the office. We do show a storage building to the rear of the property next to the water treatment plant. It's a 10 by 20 storage building. That particular building would be used for storage of items that go along with operating our water system.
And what type of items would those be?
Probably pipe and fittings and parts that are used for repairs on the water distribution system.
And any of the storage that you do on this site would not be visible from the road or from any other property?
That's correct. The storage building is totally enclosed.
I'd like for you to take a look at the same map that I just had Mr. Carball look at. As it appears at tab 6. Let me turn this around for you.
Okay.
And how many of these projects that are identified on the map in tab 6 would be served by Artesian for water?
What we're proposing is that we would serve all the facilities shown on the map except for the Windstone project. So the remaining parcels that we showed for wastewater, the remainder of those would also be served water. And we also serve water to the Beaver Creek subdivision, which is adjacent to one of the parcels there, the one that's shown in yellow. So that Beaver Creek subdivision would be connected to this water system at some point.
And I'm also going to ask you to take a look at with me tab 8. These are the projects that are identified on that map that are related to the water system. You have to say yes or no.
Yes, they are.
And as far as the those projects are concerned,
a head shake on the table.
Do you have to have CPCNs? You've testified before. You know what I'm doing.
Go ahead.
CPCNs? Do you have CPCNs for any or all of these?
Yes, we do. We have applied for CPCNs for all of these parcels shown on the map. And to my knowledge, we have those CPCNs.
A quick question for you. Other areas may need service from Artesian, either for wastewater or for water. Is there going to be capacity there for other projects or other people who may be in need because their wells have failed or because their septics have failed?
Yes, we would anticipate that there would be excess capacity from these facilities, and that would be available for other nearby parcels or properties to tie in and we would be able to provide service to them.
Well, I'm not a technical guy, but I assume that there has to be a water line or a sewer line close by where the failure is. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
So you could be in the broad area and have a failure, but not be anywhere close to a facility, and the expense would be too great for...
Right. We would have to look at the cost involved in extending a water main to a certain point, and a decision would be made whether it would be cost effective or not.
And the water process that's going to take place on Parcel 2 is also regulated by the state of Delaware?
Yes, it is.
And who regulates that?
The wells and the amount of water pumped from the wells is regulated by DNRC, and the treatment process and supply of potable water is regulated by the Office of Drinking Water at the Division of Public Health.
You also have proposed for this particular site a water storage tank, right?
That's correct.
How big is that critter?
What we are proposing is a 1 million gallon tank.
And how high would that be?
Approximately 150 feet.
And the purpose for having that big a tank with that much capacity is what?
There's a couple purposes. One of them is to sustain adequate pressure on the systems at all time. That's why the height is required. The height of 150 feet is needed to provide approximately 60 pounds per square inch pressure in the system. Also, fire protection is another reason for the tank. It provides fire flows throughout the system, and it also provides water in peak demand periods.
If you were to get this water tank and this project were approved, as you begin to serve areas, does this also result in fire hydrants being placed into various projects?
Yes, we would install fire hydrants throughout the water system.
And this is a part of your obligation as a public utility providing water?
That's correct.
I have no further questions of Mr. Price, and the only closing comments I have is, gentlemen, I think that what you've seen here provides you with the, based upon the testimony of my two witnesses and the material that have been submitted to you, sufficient for you to grant the conditional use. As is always my practice, I have submitted for the use of the commission a proposed set of findings of fact and conditions. They're certainly not binding upon you. They're just something to start with in terms of where you may want to go if you decide that this is an appropriate project. I'll make myself, these two gentlemen, available now to take any individual questions that you may have of us.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if we have any. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Well, fortunately for this applicant, I ran out of stickers on the last last project, but I do have a few questions. Let's start with some obvious ones. Why two separate parcels?
I'm going to let them answer that one.
I have with me the map, which was the reason we chose separate parcels. And actually, it was originally was going to be included with the one of the soils reports, the preliminary soils reports that we had in there. This is the preliminary feasibility map that we got from our soils and geohydro consultants that did our original work, and it identified essentially those two areas as the areas that are well suited for wastewater disposal. Thus, the two parcels.
So on all this entire acreage, this Island Farms, there was only these two locations that were suitable for?
These were the ones that were best. You can get water on most anything, but the quantity, different areas may have layers of clay which could slow down the water. They might be lower either in elevation or higher in groundwater table. They might be too close to the adjacent waterway. So they did a fairly thorough evaluation of this entire parcel, and these were the areas that they came up with and told us would be best suited.
We have copies of these, Mr. Johnson, and I understand there is the 72-hour rule, but with the leave of the commission, we'll be glad to let you have
as many of those. I think we can take those. It's something that's already in the record, isn't it?
I know that's already in the record, but
I don't think it is, but
it's mentioned in I have to find my
question. Yeah, response to a question. Well, we'll take it.
Clarify the question.
And anyone having an interest is certainly welcome to a copy of it. I would ask if you would make anyone in the public that would like one, make that available to them. Anybody want to see this? Yeah, here, Mr. Schrader, if you would be so kind, you can have mine. I can look off of Mr. Johnson's here.
I'll give you your.
Just knock me over with anything.
Sorry.
Come on.
Sorry, sir.
And am I correct in that the office building that's being proposed is one story, not the what appears to be two stories in your artist's rendition?
Yes, I believe our artist got a little carried away on the office building, but that is one story as shown on the site plan.
And can you explain to me in some more detail about the buffers from the adjoining property owners in terms of the distance and the type of buffering you would be suggesting, and what does it consist of other than the 4-foot rail fence?
Well, the buffering as it relates to the rapid infiltration basins, at least our proposal, is really that there's not much other than the 4-foot fence, because there's really not much to the rapid infiltration basins. If you've been to the Stonewater Creek, there are there's some aerials in here. There's also some photographs of that area. It's open. It's a. It's essentially a grass field. There's a very the berms that separate these basins are only 2 feet high with three on one side slopes. They barely look like pimples when they're at the spacing that they are here, and everything's green and grass. We actually had to make them brown on the site plan just to give them some separation. But they're grass. The whole area is grass. It really looks like just a big pasture.
They're not lagoons, I guess, is what Mr. Carball is.
Right, but what? Going back to your artist's rendition, it appears as though there's a row of trees that are on the north side of the property as well as on the east side of the property. What I'm hearing today is that what you're proposing more is a 4 foot high fence.
Well, I think there is some buffering required to my site plan. There is some buffering required to adjacent properties for a use like this. So right between this property and adjacent and existing residential properties, there are some plantings proposed.
Yeah, we're showing a 30 foot landscape buffer along those adjacent parcels. And that's in addition to the fence that Brian's talking about.
But the remainder of the areas are just open.
But when you talk about a 50-foot isolation area, is that you're talking about a fence and,
yes.
And some grass?
Yeah, grass and a fence.
But if the commission should...
And a berm.
And a berm.
And a berm, yes.
Right.
A 2 foot high.
2 foot high berm to keep for the rapid infiltration.
Just to keep the water on one side and not on the other. Of course, this is a conditional use application. I'm sure Mr. Mike was about to say.
I was, but
you can make it anything you want, Mr.
That's
Johnson.
Right.
It's up to you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
If you even decide
to approve it,
if the commission decides.
Yes. Now, you keep referencing Stonewater Creek as an example of your rapid infiltration basins. How many in that development, how many lots or houses are proposed to join those rapid infiltration basins that you helped to design?
All the way around them. I the exact count, there's probably 30 or so homes that loop around the.
It will be
the
a budding.
Yes.
With a 50-foot isolation area between.
I'm not even sure at the time we did Stonewater Creek, there's a requirement for a 50-foot. It might be somewhat less.
Okay.
That was a requirement that DNRC put in place about a year ago.
So provided it gets built out and someone wants it, mm-hmm. you'll make it available to them.
Yeah.
But that's something that's not been applied for yet.
That section. Yeah.
Oh, has it? No. Okay. Yeah. There.
Has it been?
Yeah,
but that's like...
Stonewater, yeah.
I'm not talking about Stonewater. I'm talking about this.
Oh, no. Yeah. Here there's... That is just residual land, residual undeveloped land surrounding our...
Yeah, the Stonewater sites adjacent to their wastewater treatment plant have been approved and... Final site plans are already on record for that.
The developer, at least at this point, has felt comfortable with the lots and the impact that the rapid infiltration basins would or would not have on his proposed lots and lot sales.
Now, when I visited the site, besides the looks like a lot of gopher holes, what are all those flags that are surrounding, I guess, the Miller property? It looks like it's being under attack. Or something. There's little different colored flags running on. Looks like on all sides of that property. Can you explain to me what those might be?
They might be. Before we did the soils work, we had a surveyor lay out and they were either used flags or stakes with flags. That 75-foot grid. So at every 75-foot grid point over all of those parcels, there are flags. There are also there were flags put along the proposed property lines of these subdivided parcels to define where the parcels would be. The exact flags you're speaking of, those are the only flags that I know of on the site.
It looked like they were celebrating Flag Day. There's so many flags and those surrounding that property.
I agree with you, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I know what they are.
On a 75-foot.
You've seen them, too, as you go back and forth.
I know what you're talking about, and I think it's part of the testing of the soils.
Yeah, on a 75-foot grid, that ends up being quite a few stakes and flags.
Okay. So I didn't know if these were right-of-ways that perhaps you had. Is you going to run your sewer pipes through or your water pipes through?
No.
And if you were one of these three neighbors and you were looking out your back window or your back door, what would you anticipate seeing?
Fence and grass.
With two-foot high berms.
Right. You'd hardly see two-foot high berms. I would see a fence and grass. But that would be all that's out there. Mark Condola's going out and walking around once a week just to see how everything looks.
Again, you're also going to see the landscaping. We're going to plant a tree line along property line, so the tree should be a buffer between our use and the homes.
Oh, so there is going to, now you're saying there's going to be a tree line.
We've been saying that.
There is a tree line as shown. And
in addition to the fence and the grass, there is a tree line. So we're showing a 30-foot landscape buffer. Okay.
Through the trees, you would see a fence and grass.
And on your proposed 150-foot water tower, are you also intending to put antennas and all those little discs? And
that is common practice, to put antennas on water towers because of the height. It's a very desirable place for antennas.
So 100 feet grows to what?
150.
Well, we're saying approximately 150 feet. The height of the antennas that we normally put on these tanks is they're only a couple feet. We don't put, we won't put a 50-foot antenna on top of the tank. They're usually less than 10 feet.
What happens to the solid waste materials?
Waste materials from the wastewater process would come off.
Not from the drinking water, but from the
right. There's not much solid waste from the drinking water. From the wastewater, essentially there are there from this process there would probably be two waste streams. One is that screening operation that I talked about at the head of the plant. That screening operation is designed to clean and rinse the screenings, so that the organic material, the softer organic material, all passes through and goes on and is treated by the treatment process. What would come out would be more solid material, less organic material, and then that is typically augered through a draining screen, so that virtually all the water comes out, and what you're left with is a relatively dry screening that then goes into usually a sock-like bag, like a trash bag, and becomes solid waste and is put in a dumpster and hauled out. But it's washed and rinsed and dried and bagged before it's hauled away. So there's no concern for odors or problems from that. The other waste...
Self-contained in that building?
That would all be within. There's actually... There's a building, the main building is the wastewater treatment plant. That's 80 by 120. There's another 20 by 60 pumping station building. That would probably be associated with the pumping station portion of the plant. The second part of the solid waste from any wastewater system, I said it's a thriving biological community of microorganisms that provides the treatment. Well, as we keep feeding them, they keep growing, and we have to keep them in balance. So we continue to take out a portion of those microorganisms. That's what we refer to as biosolids, what you might call sludge. That sludge goes off into a digester and is further treated to allow it to digest and reduce in volume, so there's less to handle. And then that's either hauled away as a liquid by the same kind of sludge and solids management systems that exist for septic tanks and similar type operations, or we envision that we will at some point be handling that material through an artesian-owned drying operation that would reduce it in volume and then land apply those solids as a fertilizer. Which could only, as I understand, could only be done in Sussex County with its own conditional use.
I think there's also a sludge component with the water treatment. Isn't that right, Barry?
There can be, depending on what's in the water. One of the common minerals we see in the groundwater is iron. If there is iron in the water, we would filter it out, and there would be a resulting residual or sludge that would need to be disposed of. And in this case, it would be disposed of at our water treatment or wastewater treatment plant.
We could take that iron-rich material in, run that through our wastewater treatment process, and it would become iron to add to our sludge.
And ultimately, your bags of dried, odorless, whatever, gets hauled off to where?
Landfill. Sanitary landfill.
Okay. I don't have any more questions right now, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
How often does that occur, the hauling off?
The hauling off of sludge at the usually the facilities are designed for a minimum of 30 days of storage capacity. So sludge might be hauled off at once it reached full design, maybe 30 days. In Sussex County, where things are more seasonal, that might be 30 days during the peak of the summer and would certainly slow down during the winter. The solid waste, we would kind of be based on how big a dumpster we got and how often we wanted to have it hauled away, but it would go to a sanitary landfill through a refuse hauler.
The dumpster is housed inside
the building.
The building. One other question. All the other red sites for Island Farms were they tested for the possibility of putting this plant somewhere else?
No, this was to the best of my knowledge, this was the primary parcel that was tested for wastewater management. This again was envisioned as a combined use for wastewater management, offices, and water treatment. So it needed to serve all of those purposes. It needed to have reasonable access for the offices, which was one of the reasons it looked to be nearer to Route 9. We wanted it to be centrally located to the areas that were being served for water and wastewater management transmission.
And the number of employees that would be in the office?
The number of employees that would be served by that office would probably max out at about 20. That would include a number of field personnel, meter readers, operators, just people working out in the field. There wouldn't actually even be 20 people in the office all the time. Some of those people would come in, get assignments, and be out the majority of the time.
No further questions.
All right, sir.
Mr. Corey?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
There'd be a signage at the buildings.
I would envision there would be, yes.
We would just probably want to put a sign in front.
So that people know. There are a few people who come and do pay their bills at the existing office. We want people to know where we are and who we are.
How about on the water tower? Signage or logo? Or?
I would say we would prefer to put one on the tower. We don't feel we have to have it, but it would be our preference to have a logo on the tower.
No other questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Couts?
Just one. One of the concerns that we've heard on the wellhead protection ordinance is the potential impact of controls on adjacent property for a public well that's on a different parcel. Is there a way that you can kind of backward plan how you're locating the well site so that the entire wellhead protection area is on your property and won't impact adjacent?
Well, the first thing we designed was the disposal areas because that was based on the soils and the soils tests that we've done. So we designed the disposal areas to take advantage of the soils that were more suited for that. And then after that, we decided where on the parcels to place the wells in order to try to get them at a greater distance from the disposal areas. So
I know we have spoken with the property owners of Island Farms about the possibility of obtaining easements if necessary for at least the 150-foot well isolation distance, where if you notice on the there is one well proposed on the northern parcel, and that well does uh, the the buffer does extend off onto the across the road.
Is that what that faint circle
yes.
represents? And then on the other one, you also have another circle.
Right. Mm-hmm. The 150 feet on the other one, we did want to keep that away from the adjacent residences.
But if my understanding is that the size of the well protection area depends on the nature of
depends
the source
the
of the water, and if you have to have it modeled, it could very well be significantly larger than 150 feet.
Yes, and right now with the exception of those three properties, probably the only properties that could potentially be impacted off site would be the Island Farm properties. We have talked to them about possibly obtaining easements if necessary.
I'm not familiar with that. Does the Island Farm site include the residual property
yes.
between
yes.
the two parcels?
Yes.
And that includes across the
and
road.
And across the road.
Right. Yeah, the only place where it's really shown is on that CPCN map, but they're both ones that are considered in the CPCNs, and they're both shown.
Thank you. That's all.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions.
All right, sir. Gentlemen, we thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Kindly stand down for a moment. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1747 Artesian Water Company Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1747? Yes, sir. Right here. Step right up. Give us your name, and the floor is yours.
Michael Hudson, 28564 Lewis Georgetown Highway. Directly across from parcel 2, I believe. Not really in opposition, just a couple points I'd like to know more about.
Okay, I'll see if I can find out.
First, what is the noise impact? I know this from reviewing the plans, there are generators on that parcel. What will be the noise impact of those running?
Okay.
Number two, they mentioned a tree line around the three properties that are adjacent. With my house directly across the road looking over on them, I'd like to see that tree line extended parallel to the railroad track. So I'm not looking out the front of my house at a 150-foot water tower. So those are my concerns.
I don't think they can put up anything that's.
Well, I know they can't cover the 150, but if they're going
to
come around there, I wonder if they can
plant a tree or something.
I wonder if they can plant trees along that realm as well. So those are my two concerns.
I'll find that for you. Okay.
We're going to offer Mr. Price.
Okay, Mr. Price, the two issues that are on the gentleman's mind, if you could address them. One is the any noise created, and the other is your willingness to put some type of landscaping buffer to make it a little bit easier on the eyes, which I tend to agree with, and I hope you can.
Yep. As far as the generators go, when we put generators outside buildings, as shown in this plan, we use what's called an ultra-quiet enclosure. It's got sound dampening built in. We are concerned about the noise levels, and all the other equipment is inside the building, so there should be no other noise. And the generators typically exercise like 1 hour a week, and we can control what time of day or what day that occurs on. And then obviously the only other time they would run is when there's a power outage.
Okay.
As far as the trees or landscaping go, I think we would be willing to put additional trees on that side of the parcel.
Would you be willing to put them on his side of the road?
On his property as opposed to ours?
He wanted them there. Hang on, I'm trying to get you a three-car garage. But
I don't think we
but
would.
You got to lead into something like that. You can't start there. I'm just, first the trees, then okay.
No, I think we.
Never mind. He doesn't want the garage, so I guess
he's willing to work with you on the.
Okay, so if it is approved, then you would show on your final site plan what you intended to do for landscaping, and this gentleman could take a look at it?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to add one caveat to that. That is that rail bed is owned by the state of Delaware.
Well, you can't put it in the rail bed, but you can.
No, but I think their right-of-way is 150 feet wide in that area.
Yeah, okay.
So we have to... I'm not saying we wouldn't do it, but
they're going to be back far. They're going to be further away from the tracks than what you might think they should be. Yeah, I have some experience with that right away issue myself, and I can tell you that some of them are pretty wide.
It's only 66.
It's only 66. There you go. Okay.
According to the survey.
All right. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, Mr. Tyler.
CFR.
Good evening. My name is Mike Tyler. I live in Lewis. I just have a couple questions. And I lived in Hocessin in 1971 when Artesian came in and dried my well up. I had to pay for water.
You know, at some point in time, you have to get over that.
I know. I remember
you
that.
That every time you
no,
come
I don't.
There.
I have a,
5 years, Mike.
I have a couple questions here. One is, I think I don't know if we're paying attention to the uglification of Sussex County, but you know, I see Tidewater put one on the highest hill behind Home Depot. I see them put one by the peninsula. I see these towers all over the place. And I know that they could achieve what they need to achieve by high-pressured groundwater pumps. They could pump the water. They don't need to have this high tower that's going to advertise their company. And I really think that's the direction we ought to be focusing on or attempting to focus on, because I really question the need for this. I mean, it's good to be proactive, but is this really needed now at this level? And I think they could probably generate the pressure they need with there's a technology out there to run these pumps, and they could do it, and they don't have to do it. This is going to be right on Route 9. We got visitors coming in. We got people traveling back and forth. They're going to be looking at this huge monster of a tower. There's nothing like it anywhere along Route 9. And so that's all my concerns are. I mean, I just think that we have to start thinking long-term vision. We just can't think of today what we're doing and say, okay, that's all right. What are you going to put on your tower? Oh, you're going to put your name on? Fine, go away. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you. And I will ask the applicant to address the I'd just like to hear your thoughts on the available technology. Is there...
On behalf of the applicant, we apologize for any harm we may have caused Mr. Tyler in 1971. And there are.
I think he'll accept your apology, but the issue at hand is a
and
big.
And there are ways to paint the tower, or that make it less offensive.
Well, I think we're aware of that, and I think it's quite likely that if it's approved, that's going to find its way into the approval. But sir, I'm interested to know about the technology in 50 words or less. Is what the man's saying so?
The reason we do elevated tanks is for peak capacity. Our treatment facility will be designed to produce enough water for an average day. A peak hour can be 4 to 6 times your average flow rate. A peak day is 1.5 times an average day. So the need for storage is to meet these peak periods. And we could put in, you know, a ground storage tank and large pumps, but it's the industry standard is for elevated storage. It's the most cost-effective, most practical way to handle it. Also, an elevated storage tank uses gravity to supply the water. So if our water facilities are down, if our generator runs out of fuel, if all the power is out, we have that water 150 feet in the air, we will still maintain adequate pressure on the system using nothing but gravity and fire protection.
Okay.
So it's more reliable as well.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. No. If you're going to speak, you got to come up here, give your name, because the tape can't pick you up from there. You can't hide in here.
That's not really opposite.
Don't start talking until you get up here. Give me your name.
Okay. My name is Wayne Erickson.
Outstanding. Wayne, go ahead.
My background is mechanical engineering, but anyway, it's not an opposition or anything, but it's just interesting, not only this application, but the previous one. The wordsmithing techniques are being used to describe building types, okay? And I would just suggest the commission kind of use the 80-20 principle, that if a building use is like 80% this type and 20% another type, that they'd be described that way. So that, like in this case, is an office building that supposedly has repair facilities with 6,000 square feet and 6 people, that's 1,000 square feet per person, but it's really a repair facility. So maybe you should describe repair office building, where the repair is the 80%. And like in the previous application, the office condominiums, which are really warehouses, 80% warehouse and maybe 20% office, they should really be described in their applications as warehouse/offices. I mean, you have some like integrity in the descriptions, and that's all. It's not really opposition, but I think it would be good for all applications to be described this way. Yeah, that's all.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up. You're very well behaved. You haven't said a word yet. Go right ahead.
I listen. Mike Dominguez, Harbison. And again, this is not in really opposition, okay. Just for information.
Right.
One, the depth of your supply well and the depth of approximate depth of the three parcels.
You got to talk to me, and if I want to ask them a question, I'll ask them. Okay,
depth of the three parcel wells.
Okay.
Presently, and how many gallons per day to operate this facility?
Okay, I'm going to find out for you.
Thank you.
All right. Out of the aquifer. Okay.
We have not drilled a supply well on the site yet. We have not even drilled a test well on site, so we don't have any wells on the site currently.
Okay.
As for the depth of the existing wells, I would have to research that. I don't know at this point. I don't know the depths of those wells, but that information is readily available, and we will find that out as part of our research and testing that we do on the site.
Well, most folks that that testify from the public and your surrounding neighbors there, typically the concern is, are you going to pump my well dry? And obviously it happened in 1971. I don't know if that was the last time it happened, but it's the last time it happened to Mr. Tyler. But seriously, I mean, it's a serious concern if you live nearby. Can you address that for these folks and maybe provide some degree of
sure
comfort or at least confusion?
Well, yes, it has happened, and at least once. And we would prefer to locate our public supply wells in an aquifer that is deeper than the homeowner's wells. We don't want to be in the same aquifer that they're in because we don't want potential interference.
Okay.
And the testing we will do will test interference with any nearby wells, either these or other wells.
Do you make some effort to find out how deep the existing wells are so that you know what aquifer they're in?
Absolutely.
So that you could be in a different one?
Before we have a drill rig on site and start drilling, we will investigate and find out as much information as possible on those wells.
Okay, what kind of, is there any kind of a notification process or anything that do the neighbors know what's going on, or do you communicate with them when you're doing this? Or
we've talked to the three homes that are near us. We've talked to those homeowners to tell them what we had planned. We, to my knowledge, have not talked to any other neighbors, but yeah, we do normally make an attempt to talk to neighbors. And we also, when we apply for a public water supply permit, that application goes to DENREC and they advertise it. It'll be advertised in local newspapers for, I believe it's 2 weeks. And there's a public comment period before the permit's issued.
How many of you folks out here are neighbors? Neighbors, okay. When we're done, I want you to talk to those people. Okay, I'm not kidding. When we're done, I'd like you to talk with those folks. Okay, all right. You're done. You can sit down. Okay. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I do.
What?
I just want clarification. Looking at this,
you can tell it's pushing,
page.
It's pushing 9 o'clock.
I understand. I understand. You haven't had dinner either.
Actually, you're right.
Looking at the, I guess it's the southern portion, it says PR sign, 5 foot by 6 foot by 15 feet high. What's that? And I'm looking at...
That would be the proposed sign that we talked about that would say Artesian. That would be what would tell people where we are and where to come.
So you want it on that side, not over by where your office building is?
I forget exactly.
Where it's shown on the plan is facing Route 9. And that was just a conceptual design. I mean,
well, that's going to have to conform to the ordinance anyway. So it's not, I mean,
I just don't want anything slipped in on us.
No, I understand. I appreciate
like
you pointing it out.
Water versus trees.
Yeah,
something.
Well, yeah. I understand. Okay. Anything else? Anyone
Thank
on the
you,
commission?
Sir.
You're welcome, sir. Anyone else on the commission? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Friday or what night is it? Thursday night to see if we'd stay with us, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.